Hearing is conditional use number 2416, Over the Hill Holdings LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an indoor and outdoor shooting and archery range to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Gunborough 100, Sussex County, containing 10.55 acres more or less. The property is lying on the northeast corner of the intersection of Parker Road, which is Sussex County Route 415, and Line Road, which is Sussex County Route 419. The 911 address is 38531 Parker Road, Millsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 333. Map 15, parcel 20.00, submitted into the record. Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we have a copy of written comments received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we have a copy of the property deed, we have a copy of the staff analysis, and I would note we have received zero public comments. Thank you.
All right, sir, thank you. Okay, the chair recognizes Mr. Smith.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. For the record, my name is Mike Smith. I'm an attorney with the Smith Firm, and I am here on behalf of the applicant Over the Hill Holdings LLC. With me today are the patriarch of the Bainey family, Mr. Lloyd Bainey, and his two sons, Jeff and Chad. Chad being to my left, your right, Jeff being on the far end here. I submitted a PowerPoint, and in the risk of breaking any of your equipment, how is the easiest way for me to get through that? You want me to just tell you to go forward a slide, or?
Oh, let me load it up, and then.
Okay. Should I just ask to go forward a slide on that? Is that how?
That might be easier.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, you can go ahead to the second slide, because the first one's just an intro to the application there. So this is just what I was just mentioning to you as far as the owning applicant, which is Over the Hill Holdings. The principal member of Over the Hill Holdings is Mr. Lloyd Bainey and his wife, Deborah. The operator of the facility on the property that we're discussing today is actually Delmarva Armory, LLC, and they have a registered fictitious name of Range Time. They've been in operation since July of 2018. The principal members of all of the entities combined are the Bainey family, three of which I've introduced to you and are here with me today, and Ms. Bainey was not able to make it today. If you could go to the next slide on this one. This is a what appears to be unreadable copy of the special use exception that was approved previously for this particular property and this particular use. So of relevance would be the notes on the right-hand side that the Board of Adjustment did approve a special use exception through case number 12083. The hearing date on that was January 8th, 2018, with the approval being granted at that time for an indoor shooting and archery range, the approval being given on March 6, 2018. At that time, the Board of Adjustment found that there was no evidence presented that would have suggested that the facility would have a substantial adverse effect on any of the neighboring properties. The approval at that time was good for 5 years, so obviously mathematically we're past that now. We had submitted the application for the conditional use prior to that expiration, but have been in the queue since then to appear before you. The 5 year of use that was granted under the special use application sort of gave a test run for how this operation would work. In that 5 year period, I can say that the operation has been a huge asset to the community for all the reasons that I'll discuss with you in just a bit. There has been a harmonious working relationship, so to speak, with neighboring properties. There's been no material adverse effect on them, and the facility has operated in an extremely clean and safe manner, which you'll see in some of the photos that I'm going to present to you as well. If you could go to the next slide. This is just a maybe not 30,000 foot view, but somewhere in that range. So the little obviously highlighted part is our parcel that we're talking about today. And all this is essentially showing is the rural nature of the area surrounding the property. Typically, that wouldn't be the most advantageous thing for somebody applying in an application like we're doing today. But given the nature of this use, a rural setting is probably the best location for this type of application and type of use. There are no known tax ditches or wetlands on the site. Now, I will give the caveat in one of the photos, you will see that the Baneys have dug a small pond, which they have permit approval for. So I suppose technically that would be a wetland with an X modifier because it's man-made, but there's no technical vegetated wetlands or natural wetlands on the site. The site is located approximately 2 miles to the west of Cypress Swamp or Burnt Swamp. You can't quite see that on the photograph, but it would be just off to the right-hand side of that image. The county's future land use map on this one is a low-density area, which you would assume by the nature of where it's located. However, in that future land use plan and the comp plan, the low-density areas are noted as being used for businesses that support agricultural activities. And as I'm going to discuss in a moment, the facility provides training for hunting-related education and firearm carrying as well. Our position is that that has a direct correlation to the agribusiness operations in the area, given wildlife management and hunting activities that occur quite frequently in this area, particularly in the Burnt Swamp area as well. The DLDOT service level evaluation request was submitted and the traffic impact was noted as being negligible in that. If you could go to the next slide for me. This is just again, a high level view of area zoning. The property is not highlighted on this one, but it would be located just to the south of the colored sections in the center of the map. The vast majority of the area is going to be residential and rural. Those colored sections, the gray being the heavy industrial, red being general commercial, and tan being general residential, are within the metropolis of what I guess you would call Gumborough proper there. So there's not a lot of activity there, but they are zoned that way. The next slide, if you would. This is just noting the area conditional uses. You will see that the property we're talking about today is actually already highlighted, and that is two parts. I think it highlights number one because we've submitted the application, and two because it was actually granted prior conditional use for an entirely separate activity. So I don't know the exact year this was done, but S&J, I believe it's pronounced Villari Livestock, was granted a conditional use. It's conditional use number 1311, ordinance 1351, previously for a stockyard, slaughterhouse, and processing facility for this same property. That would have occurred before my clients purchased the property and converted the building into what it is today. I guess what I would say to that is for anybody opposed to the application, it could be much worse. It could be a slaughterhouse. So the second one on that would be was submitted for Piedmont Leasing, and that would be conditional use 1925, ordinance 2248. That one was for an office and trucking company for truck storage. There are some neighboring properties that also have conditional uses. A good number of those appear to have been withdrawn, but there is one for a livestock market. So they're all agriculture related, but there are a few in the area. If you could go to the next slide. As part of the original special use exception, there was a site development plan that was done and prepared for the indoor facility, which would be located on the southern portion of the site. This site plan sort of cuts off where the property narrows, but the property extends back where the outdoor shooting facility, which I'll show you some photographs of. But the improvements that are shown on this plan are the same as those that exist today. What you can't read in the image of that would be that it was prepared in 2019 by IED Architecture and Engineering. The overall building area that's noted on this plan for that site is 13,964. That's going to include everything that's on that property right there. The required parking spaces on that original was 40. There's 43 available, but any final site plan for the overall site would comply with whatever parking requirements were needed. If you could go to the next one. So when we submitted the application, the image on the left-hand side over what it has on it, it's a Miller Lewis boundary survey, but it has on it what you will see is a hand-drawn proposal for an outdoor shooting range. In actuality, that is not the ultimate location of where that range is. In full candor, the application was submitted, and as this was in the queue, the outdoor range has been constructed with permit approvals. It is located in the Google image that you will see on the right-hand side. Now, that Google image is, I believe, it has an imagery date of May 26, 2023, to the extent that you can rely upon those dates on Google image. The outdoor building or outdoor shooting facility is not constructed in that image, so you will see some photographs of that as it pertains to what it looks like today. The pond that you see just to the south of that is the one that I referenced earlier, which was constructed, and the dirt and spoils from that were used to construct the berms, which I will also show you a photograph of. If you could go to the next image. This one is simply overlaying and noting neighboring property owners on here. What you will see on this one that I will note to you particularly is Moore Farm, Inc. is the owner of the large tracts that are located to the west and east, the western side being across Parker Road. And then there is a parcel there that is located just to the west that is owned by South Shore Provisions. That is actually my client's as well. The Villari parcels that are located to the south there, my client has a right of first refusal on those and intends to purchase them, so ultimately they wouldn't be rolled into this conditional use application because they're separate properties, but the intention there would be that they own them at some point in time. If you could go to the next slide. This is an image. I actually have a copy of this in case it is not legible. That may be more legible. I could produce that if you would like, but it is a letter signed by Mr. Glenn C. Moore Jr., who is a principal member of Moore Farms, Inc., and it is a letter in full support of the application today. Again, he is the owner of the large tracts to the east and west of the parcel that we're talking about. If you go to the next one, the next few slides I'll run through are just some orientation photographs and photos of the property. So the image in the bottom right-hand corner would be a Google Earth image that shows a red arrow, orienting the other photographs that are on the page. The one to the left being the intersection of East Line Road, which is the boundary line basically for Delaware and Maryland, and then Parker Road extending in an outward direction from that. The other one is a little further down on Parker Road showing the stop sign that enters and exits the property for the applicant. One note that I will make, in the upper right-hand corner of that top image, you'll see a large tank. It's a 25,000-gallon sprinkler system tank that they had to install as part of this. So the facility it has that measure of security in the sense that it has a fire suppression system with a standalone 25,000-gallon tank in case it were ever to discharge at that point. The next slide is going to again show an orientation. This is really just painting again a picture for the rural nature of the area. This would be facing to the west as you approach the site. In the photograph, the improvements on the property would be off in a distance. You can kind of see the buildings there, but that would be the improvements that are located on the site today. If you go to the next photo, again, it's to the west, but we're just moving a little bit further in that direction, taking the photograph, which the sign, if you can't quite read it, is the range time sign. And then basically where I was standing when I took the photograph would be the entrance into the site off of East Line Road. And if you go one more from there, it basically flips that photograph and faces the east. So that would be facing in the other direction from the last one. One more, please. So on this one, this is standing on the property, and what you'll notice in the photograph to the right-hand side is a dirt berm. That would be the western dirt berm for the outdoor, and you'll see a closer image of that in just a moment. The houses that are located to the left there are the ones that were along Parker Road, and you will notice that between those houses and the dirt berm is a vegetated buffer that they have, that Mr. Bainey has installed. It includes some green giant trees and some natural vegetation. There is a ditch along there as well. And if you'll go one more for me. This is a photograph of the outdoor shooting building that I'd mentioned to you earlier. So in the left-hand image is going down a drive lane to that. It shows the dirt berms that are constructed around it. The building that's constructed that you see in the image there is 53 feet 10 inches wide by 41 feet 4 inches deep, which equates, if my math is correct, to 2,225.11 square feet. The building is open on the backside, and I guess by orientation, the backside is, would be the side you can't see in this image, which would be the firing lanes down the range. There is an anticipated need for 12 parking spaces, but again, the applicant will comply with whatever requirements are put in place. On this building, there is an intercom system, so if somebody were to come to the range and want to shoot, they would have to either have somebody present or use that intercom system before entering the building, which would be locked at that point. There is always a range officer present, and those are qualified individuals who are monitoring any shooters that may be present at that point in time. The shooting at this outdoor range is restricted in the sense that there are no rounds permitted that will fire over 3,000 feet per second, and they do not allow any home-loaded, what I will call, that's probably not the most scientific way to say it, but home-loaded ammunition. There's probably a better way to describe that, but I think you know what I mean. And so they are monitoring that type of stuff, and the earthen berms that you see around this one are around 150 feet, we'll say wide, as far as the back of the shooting facility, and then the sides of that are somewhere around 330 feet long, plus or minus. They were constructed 22 feet tall. The berms are a U-shape, essentially, with the building being in the opening of that U and it being encapsulated for everything beyond that point. If you could go to the next slide for me. This would be an image of when you enter into the outdoor range facility. The image on the left-hand side would have the entrance door on the right, and the door to the indoor range facility, which you'll see in a moment, will be on the left. The image on the right is the reverse of that, showing the other direction. That door on the left-hand side is the entrance door. And I should have said earlier, I realize that a conditional use application is more about the nature of the use in the property and a little bit less about the details of the use, but given the nature of the use that we're applying for, we felt like the sophistication of the facility and the cleanliness of it was worthwhile to produce and show you in photographs. So I hope you'll indulge me as I continue to go through these. This outdoor facility, I will note, does have a vault that where you'll notice there's some firearms there in a glass case at the moment. They would be used or available for renting for training purposes, but there is a vault in that room that is locked and secured for those to be stored at any time overnight. That is a secured facility which is alarmed and monitored by a very elaborate camera system that applies for both the indoor and outdoor facilities. If you could go to the next slide. This image is going to show you what inside of the building would look like. So this is after you enter through the area that I just showed you in the photograph. On the left-hand side, you're looking at what I'll call a walkway that exists behind the shooting benches, the yellow line being a sort of a safe line or a live fire line there. There are 10 lanes total on the left-hand side, each one of them being at a range, I believe, of 6 feet wide to 4 feet wide, somewhere in there. Some are a little bit wider than others. Each one of those lanes is going to have a block wall sides, and it's also going to have sound-dampening ballistic rubber pads. So those black images that you see there that are on the both on the sides and the ceiling are ballistic rubber and capable to stop a bullet, but they're also going to dampen a lot of sound coming from any firearm at that point. Again, I think I mentioned before, the range officers are always going to be present when a shooter is present. No one is permitted to fire around in there if they are not present at that point in time. No one is permitted to go downrange in this facility, so it would be for any reason, not when a shooter is present. One of the questions that I think is likely to come up is cleaning of the facility. And when I say cleaning, I don't mean scrubbing the inside. I mean the remediation of any lead or metal that may go downrange. So with respect to this outdoor facility, and I will speak more to it when we look at the inside, there is a company, Range Cleaners, I think it's called, and it is a Florida company. You can actually go on their website and see it. It's rangecleaners.com, but they have a lot of videos on there that are actually interesting if you were cared to look at it. They will come in with their equipment, and they come in with their spacesuits and go in there and actually pull out all the metal. They have the equipment to do that. They are looking hazmat certified, I assume, and all that kind of stuff. They take that metal and take it back, and as I understand it, they will melt that down and sell it to the battery company so that it is used in some sort of a meaningful way. Seems like it's a pretty profitable business for those guys if they know how to do it, as I understand it. From Mr. Bainey, they removed was it millions of pounds, I believe, at the Aberdeen Proving Ground facility because it was a military base that had never been cleaned. So they are very experienced and very capable individuals that come in and do that. These guys try not to disturb any of those sites to expose themselves, employees, or environmental contaminants to anyone else. The company Range Cleaners is going to monitor the outdoor facility at least on an annual basis, and they're going to clean it on an as-needed basis. The assumption is that the outdoor facility will need cleaning less frequently than the indoor, which is done on an annual basis. If you could go to the next slide, this is going to be the beginning of kind of going through quickly the inside of the facility. So this, we're going backwards to the front of the building here. That door that you see in the background of the image would be coming in the rear of the building, and we'll move towards the front, which is actually where the customer would enter. So the rear of the building, as you can see, is structured as more of a meeting area, and they have axe throwing area there, which has netting, security, and all that kind of stuff to ensure safety on that part of it. If you'll go to the next image. This is going to be directly behind the axe throwing portion of the facility that I just showed to you. It's two separate classrooms. They're substantially similar. They're just oriented side by side. And this facility or these classrooms can be used by range customers. It can be rented by them. But more particularly, they're also used by area police departments, which I'll get a little bit more into in just a moment, for training purposes. They're also utilized by the range time staff to teach I think it's called Stop the Bleed training, but there's some sort of first aid training with that, CPR training, and then they're also going to be doing the hunter's education and I think a master hunter's education class in these as well. There are seven currently employees at range time that are USCCA certified instructors. That's the United States Concealed Carry Association, one of the largest associations that exist for that type of use, and a lot of them instruct these types of classes. If you'll go to the next slide for me, please. Can be quick on this one. This is just the center of the facility as we move towards the front. The arrow there is indicating the entrance to the indoor facility, which you'll see in a moment, which again is a monitored and secured location. Any customer will have to pass by the computer kiosk here, and they have a point of sale system that monitors a lot of activities. It counts the customers, and it doesn't count bullets per se, but it allows them to estimate them for cleaning purposes through how many people enter and how long they've been in there. If you'll go to the next one, spend just a bit of time on this one. So there are five images here. They're all within that inside range after you enter through the door that I just showed you. There are a total of 12 lanes, 12 firing lanes here. The shooting lanes are each 75 feet long. Now that would be from the bench to the rubber. The actual room is 44 feet wide, 120 feet long, and 12 feet high. So the logical question is, where is that other footage if there's only 75 feet? And that is largely in the security measures that exist to stop those bullets from going anywhere. So what you will see is there is again that ballistic rubber on the walls of each of the shooting stations, on the walls of the range, on the ceiling in baffles, and then as you enter the back of the range there, which of course nobody would go there aside for law enforcement training, and I'll touch on that in a moment, but that rubber, we'll call it a wall, but the rubber barrier there is at an angle, and behind that is a metal screen, which I'll show to you again in a moment. It's about 30 inches deep throughout the entire course of that. At the top of the ceiling are a feeder tank that essentially if someone fires around and the rubber starts to fall down and slides down the shelf, it's going to reestablish itself automatically from the top of those tanks essentially. Every single one of those ranges by the rating that it has is capable to hold 1 million to 1.1 million rounds. It will never reach that, but that's what it's capable of. The reason that that cleaning facility is brought in each time is to stop the degradation of that rubber ballistic so that the rounds aren't hitting against metal with that between it, and they'll clean that out and put it back again. I would say it's impossible for any round to get through that rubber, let alone get through what exists beyond that, which you'll see in a moment. The air circulation system in this is Me describing it does it a great disservice because it's well above my pay grade on this one, but there is a 70-ton HVAC system that exists for that range alone, and it has 750,000 BTUs as far as a heating capacity. It's changing the air in that range every minute. So it's basically pushing from behind the shooter to the end of the range, hitting that ballistic rubber, and then filtering itself through at that point. It's going not only through a bag system, but a HEPA filter system as well, and then it can circulate back through. The system's capable to purge that and pull new air in as well. The reason that I stress that and the importance of it is because, obviously, there's lead involved in shooting, and lead contamination can exist. So this is cleaning that. The quality and technology that these gentlemen have in this facility is the reason that they are capable to provide the training to police forces that is becoming obsolete at state-owned facilities. There is an inability to clean air in these other ones, which is making it impossible or unsafe for people to fire at those ranges. The room is also equipped with an audible alarm, so if that air quality ever dropped below a safe threshold, it would alarm and they could remove folks from there. I don't believe that's ever happened, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe that's ever happened, or nor would it would, but it is there and capable of being applied if needed. The ammo restrictions and cleanup, I talked about the cleanup. That's the same company that is, they have a Florida address, but I think they have a New Jersey facility. That would be the Range Cleaner Company. These gentlemen apply restrictions where there's no steel core ammo allowed to be used within this for safety reasons. I think that the walls could hold it and everything's designed for it, but they try to apply higher safety measures just to make sure that nothing fails within the system. If you could go to the next slide for me. This one would be entering or exiting the range, depending on which way you're facing. The interior door that's opened is is rated for a 357. So basically when you're in the range, the bullet again can't escape from anything once that's closed. It's only open because I was holding it open at this point in time. On the outside of that, you'll see this contraption that has wheels on one side and a handle on the other. It's called a guardian gun cleaning trap. So as far as a safety measure is concerned, again, these gentlemen are very sensitive to that issue. Gun malfunctions do happen. If a gun is in that range, the bullet can't escape. They don't allow any live ammunition or live guns to leave that room. So essentially, if a gun malfunctions and it's got a live round in it, that trap allows them to either clear the gun and the bullet won't come out, or these guys are certified to go in and basically disassemble that gun entirely before it's permitted to leave inside that room. If you'll go to the next slide. This one is bouncing back to what I mentioned to you before. So this would be the backside of the rubber. The right image is what I showed you a moment ago from a little bit more backed up view, but it's the rubber at the end of the range. The center image is the metal that exists behind that rubber. It's at an angle, and as I said, there's hoppers at the top that will feed that from the inside back down. And it exists at 30 inches throughout. Behind that metal is the first block wall that you see, which has a steel plate that's an access door. Not that anybody needs to access it, but it's closed by that steel plate. And then there's another block wall behind that. This would be an employee-only area. No customers are going through this hallway. But I'm going to say it's impossible for a round to escape that room. If you'll go one more slide for me. This is just showing the center of the building as we approach back up to the retail store. The trash can that's in the left of the left image and all the way in the back on the right image is the same trash can in the same orientation or the same location. So if you want to orient the photographs, that ramp is heading up into the retail store. The door on the right-hand side of the left image is going into the firing range, which is what we talked about a moment ago. If you'll go one more slide for me. This is the very front of the building, which is three images of the retail area. I'll note here, the application that we submitted was for an indoor-outdoor firearms and archery range. It was not overly specific on the retail sale, but we are asking for permission to conduct retail sales as are related to that facility. And I would just ask that that be taken into consideration.
Yeah. Mr. Smith and I talked about that. I mean, obviously that's your decision whether to approve it or not, but that seems like that's ancillary to the type of facility they're asking for.
I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
So just a quick mention, the bottom right-hand image, you'll see a steel door in the background. That would be the security door for the front customer entrance that's closed at this point in time. The door, the double glass door that is in the back of the top image would be going down towards the indoor range that we just talked about, and the other one, it would be the main part of the storefront premise there. This, again, is alarmed and secured by a multitude of cameras, more than you could imagine. If you'll go to the next slide. This is just showing the front of the building, and to the right-hand side would be a loading dock. To the left-hand side of that would be the customer entrance, which was the metal sliding door that I showed you a moment ago. Okay, and that'll be the end of the photographs, if you go one more. So this is a list of what I arguably is some of the most important folks that use the facility, and the top four police departments are agencies that are using or were using it at the time of the presentation of this application. That list has expanded or is anticipated to expand, but we have Lewis, Milton, South Bethany, and Dagsboro police departments are all training there. If there's more questions on this, I can have Mr. Bainey comment more on it, but my understanding is that municipal police departments do not have internally the same facilities to train that perhaps the state police does. They also are not permitted the same uses of the state police facilities that the folks on the state police force are. So there is an extreme limitation of where they can go and how they can qualify for their shooting. And there are some letters, which I'll show you in just a moment, from those police departments that highlight that. The bottom list of five agencies are those that are anticipated to use the facility in this calendar year, including Bethany, the Delaware Police SWAT team, would be the equivalent of SWAT team for Delaware, Dewey Beach, Ocean View, and Selbyville. Now, the way that these facilities are currently using these agencies are currently using the facility is worth highlighting. The facility currently is open Tuesday to Sunday to the public. It is closed to the public on Mondays with the express intention that it only be used for law enforcement on that day. So essentially what's happening is these gentlemen are closing their facility down. They're not making the same income at that point. And they are allowing essentially a reservation system for these police agencies to come in. It makes logical sense that the public shouldn't be seeing the training of police officers, nor should they be engaged in that same practice. So what they're doing is they're reserving it. The police departments come in with a master range officer. Some of the municipalities don't have one, but they're coordinating with each other to have that person present. When they come into the facility, they are essentially coordinating their training scenarios with the range time folks, which is usually going to be Jeff or Chad. And once that's greenlit and they say it's safe for the facility, the police departments are then going to take over the facility from that point forward and conduct their training exercises. No public is permitted to be present on those days. And that's happening on Mondays at this point in time. The next slide, if you would. These are, there's three letters here that are from the police departments that I mentioned. This one is going to be from Detective Casey. I hope to God I'm pronouncing his name right, or I'm going to get a ticket in Lewis on this. I think it's Craps, I'm going to guess. But Lewis Police Department, he's on the DEA task force as well. In his letter, just two sections that are highlighted here, he says the Lewis Police Department was briefly utilizing another indoor range, but was unable to complete training up to standards to ensure each officer was trained adequately at this other location due to not having an outdoor range, space, and long yardage to train our needs. He also highlights here, as far as this facility, having both the indoor and outdoor ranges accessible to the Lewis Police Department has allowed us to elevate our training, which in turn elevates the services we can provide to our community and the Sussex County region in general. If you'll go one more, I have hard copies of these letters too, because they're not quite readable in those, so I can, I'll do it at the end if that's okay. So the next one here is going to be South Bethany Police Department. This is Chief of Police Jason Lovins. And the two notable statements here are, Sussex County does not have a police academy, training facility, or shooting range for our officers to meet training requirements. This results in municipal police departments struggling to find a location to train their police officers without traveling long distances. The benefit that this facility provides is that Range Time provides both indoor and outdoor shooting ranges, classrooms, and training rooms. Range Time has provided a solution to a critical problem by providing a location to safely train and educate our police officers in meeting the rigorous demands required to fulfill their duties. And there'll be one more from the Milton Police Department. This would be Sergeant Casey Lewis. And again, just a quick quote here of some of the things said is, with the limited shooting ranges in Sussex County, Range Time is a necessity. To have both an indoor and outdoor facility at the same location is amazing. With the new outdoor range having targets at 100 yards, this also allows myself to ensure our departmental patrol rifles are properly sighted in. Working in a small department with limited staffing, ensuring that my officers can shoot on the day scheduled is crucial. So as stated previously, having the option of an indoor and outdoor range is paramount, as well as what I believe to be a necessity. As I understand matters, these officers have to train at firing at certain distances, which at an indoor facility, they have to do some measure of, I guess estimation would be a word to do that. So they can't quite fire at that range if they do it at an indoor, but they somehow accommodate. It's not ideal. These guys are not, if they're doing that, they're not receiving the right kind of training at that point, but this facility allows them to do that. And the next slide is just a quick list of some of the other notable organizations that are utilizing the facility currently. That would be the USCCA. I mentioned that earlier. That is the largest firearms training organization and insurance company in the world. They advertise on their website. They have over 800,000 active members. There is also a number of instructors using the facility that are teaching concealed deadly weapons for Maryland wear and carry, the handgun qualification licenses. There's a Utah carry permit. I'm not quite sure who in the facility has Utah, but that is there. Mount Air, as a notable large organization, also uses it to provide training to some of their employees as well. One more slide on this one is going to show a quick snapshot of some of the licensing that is available. So the facility operates with all the requisite licensing in place. The image all the way to the left would be the U.S. Department of Justice ATF Federal Firearms License. The center one is going to be the current ATF Special Tax Stamp, and the right-hand side is going to be the Delaware Division of Professional Regulations Firearm Dealer License. The next slide is just going to be the general licensing numbers for retail and general services as well, and those will be state licenses that are issued. And one more slide from there. There is a typo on this one. The test condition date should be 2024 in the second section, but what I'm showing you here is these gentlemen, and these gentlemen being Mr. Jeff Bainey and Chad Bainey, conducted a sound test, recognizing that sound or noise may be an issue or a concern for some folks. So the meter that is imaged to the left is the one that was utilized in this testing, and the specs for that meter are at the top. It provides accuracy within 2 decibels. On June 4th, should be 2024, at 12:10 p.m. is when they did this, they started doing this testing. Give some environmental conditions of how things were looking that day. It was a 80-degree sunny day with 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. Jeff Bainey was the one operating the sound equipment at all times, and Chad was the one operating the equipment that the various measures were taken on, and I'll show you what those results were. For the shooting portions of the test, that FN SCAR 16-inch is a gun that would, I assume, typically be used by law enforcement, and that's the reason it was used for this testing, and the ammunition is specced out at the bottom. That ammunition shows a muzzle velocity of 2930, and as I mentioned before, they restrict the velocity to 3000 at that outdoor range, so they were trying to find one of the quote-unquote hotter rounds to test with so that the sound may be amplified to hit the max. If you'll go to the next slide. These are various readings numbered on the left-hand side. You'll see the decibel readouts on these. The first two are sort of setting a control of what the noise levels were. First one being a conversation between Jeff and Chad. These guys are not soft-spoken individuals, so that was 70 to 73 decibels on that, just talking at normal levels. The next one down would have been taken with Jeff holding the equipment at a rough 6-foot height and 10 feet away from a Mahindra 2538 tractor. To the extent that there's any relevance in it, that's a 37 horsepower tractor, 37.4. and it had a 6-inch finish mower on it at that point in time. They used that to cut the grass at the facility, so kind of gauging what noise levels you would hear on a normal basis. That was 77 to 79. With the PTO engaged and the mower running with a 2100 RPMs to actually cut, you were looking at a cap of 111 decibels. That fourth reading there is one where Chad would have been firing that firearm I mentioned to you in the last slide in one of those shooting benches at the outdoor range, and Jeff was standing with the meter 5 feet behind him inside the building at that point in time. That capped at 116. Now, the second you step outside that facility, all those sound-deadening rubber mats and the concrete walls are dropping that noise level down to below what the level of a normal conversation would be. So it was 63 to 70 decibels. The sixth reading would have been taken at the edge of that berm that I showed you in the prior photographs. That would have been 76 to 79. The reason that that would have been elevated from the point of the prior reading is because at this point you aren't directly behind the concrete walls of the building. The last reading on this page would have been taken on the outside edge of the berm. Again, you're dropping below the point of a normal conversation at that point in time. One more slide's gonna show a couple additional readings on this one. So the photograph at the bottom is showing the approximate location that Chad would have been when he fired the weapon from the indoor range. The A and B are the readings that are shown above, A being the reading number 8 and B being the reading number 9. Those were taken on the westerly boundary edge of the property over closer to the houses that are on Parker Road. The reading number 8, which would have been more directly in line with the shooter to the west, was again well below a conversation, 58 to 62 decibels. The one taken at the back of the property, which would be the northerly side of it in the corner, northwest corner, I suppose that would be, was 61 to 65 decibels. If you'll go one more slide on this one. These are just a couple excerpts from Delaware statutory provisions. So to the best of my research and knowledge, there are no restrictions as far as Delaware statutes on the proximity of discharging a firearm aside from those that apply typically for hunting scenarios. And these are excerpts of those statutes. So the first one is going to be in Title 7, Section 719A of the Delaware Code. And it says that you cannot discharge a firearm within 15 yards of a public roadway. That is not happening anywhere on this facility. The second code section is Title 16, 6902. And it's talking about a similar thing, but it says you can't discharge it in, on, or into any public right-of-way. That goes without saying, but they're not doing that either. The next page is going to show, with respect to discharging a firearm in proximity to an occupied dwelling, that is 100 yards, and again, the current facilities are compliant with that. They are all more than 100 yards away from any dwelling or any other outbuilding at that point in time. This code provision does specify that it applies while hunting or trapping, but logically speaking, it makes sense that it would apply to this facility as well, so we are compliant with that also. Archery is 50 yards, we're certainly compliant with that also. The next section, or next slide, would be the final code section that I'm referencing. This is just the General Assembly made a decision to provide a higher level of protection for shooting ranges, and this is just an excerpt of that statute, that once a shooting range has been in operation for more than a year, it is by law given protections from nuisance suits, and this is just that heightened protection that it's given at that point in time. The next slide on this one. This is just highlighting the applicable county code provisions. So section 115-22 would be the permitted conditional uses within an AR zoning, and as you well know, residential, business, commercial, and industrial uses are permitted when they satisfy the purposes of the chapter and more fully meet the conditions of issuing a conditional use. The 115-171 is a general purpose section for conditional uses, which, based on all the reasons that I've highlighted in the other slides, we believe that the use being proposed is of a public character. It is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. It will not have a material adverse effect on neighboring properties. It complies with the comp plan, and it is in keeping with orderly growth in the area. I did submit separately from this PowerPoint some proposed findings of fact and conditions for this application. I did need to highlight that one change on this again that I mentioned. The first proposed condition was that this approval is for an indoor and outdoor shooting and archery range. I just wanted to clarify that there is that related retail sales component that's attendant to that. And in the proposed findings of fact, the number six finding says that there are trained and certified personnel present on the site at all times. In hindsight, I realize that that is a little bit vague and it may not be best to say trained and certified because it leaves it open to what training and certification, but I can say that these gentlemen that are on the site are knowledgeable and they possess all the requisite understanding and safety measures that are needed to ensure that the facility is operated properly. At this point, I'm going to call Jeff up for a second just to, number one, confirm that everything that I have said today is accurate and to tell me if there's anything that you want to add to what I've said.
Hello, my name is Jeff Banny. My home address, 26179 Manor Way, Georgetown, Delaware. Everything Mike said pertaining to our business is accurate. My brother, myself, and my father, we strive to give the public the best that we can possibly afford. To give, you know, a nice shooting range and safe shooting range for Sussex County and beyond. We're proud of the departments that are using the facility. They're proud to have the facility here. And without that, they wouldn't get the adequate training that they needed, you know, to do their daily duties. So.
If we were all as big as him, we wouldn't need firearms, right?
A little horses. We're
not gonna wrestle you for it. I can tell you that.
That's everything we have. We're happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
I was on board of adjustment when you were first approved. I have to say I'm shocked you built the outdoor facility without getting your conditional use first. That being said, what type of hours will you propose to use the conditional use and hours that would be respectful to the neighbors?
Yeah, so the conditions that we had submitted were asking for 8 to 10, nothing beyond 10, just based on what we understand of applicable noise ordinances. In reality, the outdoor facility, the 10 o'clock timeline, is not likely to ever apply. The reason that that was put in there is because police departments have to train in low light conditions or potentially no light conditions. Right. So that was done for that reason. But currently, the outdoor range closes at
7.
Okay. How many days a week?
It's 7 now, given the fact that police forces are using it on Monday. It's technically closed to the public on Monday, but that would be the police training day.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Ms. Wingate.
Well, I have to say that I had no idea that this facility was even there, and when I did my field trip, I was so impressed. It is top shelf, and it is certainly something that our county needs. I love it that you're supporting our men and women in blue. Anything to support them and safety of what they do every day is awesome. And our youth for training for hunting. I come from a long line of hunters. And for all of us gun-toting folks, I think it's a great thing. Thank you. I have no questions.
Okay, Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Butler.
Thank you guys. Did a great job. Good presentation. Been to the facility before. Very nice place.
Okay. All right. Mr. Whitehouse?
None for me, thank you.
Staff? Counselor?
None for me. No.
The only question, I'd just ask this for the record, Mr. Robertson or Mr. Whitehouse, have there been any complaints or violations filed against these folks?
No.
So there have been no complaints, no violations, and they've been in full compliance with their special use exception for the time that they've been there.
There was a question on the building permit and the issuance of the building permit, which we expedited, but it was not a violation, and we were able to work with the applicants to get that all resolved.
Right. All right. All right, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll sure that we'll see if anyone's here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2416 Over the Hill Holdings LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2416?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Give us your name. You may ask your question.
Librada Famiglietti, and I'm one of the owners of the houses in which the ranch is located at.
Okay.
My question is, and the gentleman did a very good explanation of the indoor facility. Mm-hmm. We have no problem with the indoor facility so far. Well, I moved into that area in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and I have no problems with the indoor facility. My husband passed away in the first, at the beginning of the last year, so I didn't see when they started the range, the outdoor range, right in the back of my house, you know, in our, not back of my house, in the back of, in the, where it's located right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we just saw a lot of dirt coming into the area, but we didn't know what it was gonna be. So when I had the opportunity of talking to one of them, just passing by, that's usually the way we talk, I said that, well, what was gonna be? And he says it's gonna be an outdoor range. And I says, but what about the noise? He says, it's not gonna be a problem. You know, the noise is not gonna be a problem for you. So I said, okay, you know, once it's built, you know, that's much. Has any of you gone to the outdoor range yet? Have seen the outdoor range? Have any of you been in one of our homes when somebody's shooting? No? Well, I want to tell you that has been a little bit complicated because we do have a lot of noise. I don't know, he shows some slides as to what is the range going to be or what the range is going to be right now.
Okay, I'll get the answer for you in a second. Yeah. Just, do you have any other questions?
Yes. How many days of the week are going to be able to use the facility, the outdoor facility? Because Saturday and Sunday, which is the weekend for all of us, they're shooting. And we're going to be outside when they're shooting. Because it's even, not even my dog likes it.
Are you hearing the shots now? Is it a problem?
Yes, ma'am. Very loud. And I do have recordings in my telephone. I mean, it's not the greatest recording, but I do have recordings in, to see how loud it is. Now, that's not all the time. They do have, I don't know too much about guns, but I do know that one of the days I was there, not one, a few of the days that I was there, somebody comes with shooting very fast. And that's awful. The noise is awful. You know, I didn't know what it was, you know, but make me jump. I was inside of the house with the doors closed, with the windows closed, and I had to go and see what it was. So I had to open the door in the back to find out what it was. It was a bad noise. Is that the way it's going to be for good? Is that going to be changed in any way?
Okay, I'll ask that question as soon as you're done. I'll give them the opportunity to speak.
Okay.
Okay, so
give us
everything. Mr. Smith, you might want to take a few notes.
my other question was about the cleaning of the stuff, which you already discussed.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to speak to face me when you speak, please. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think the other questions I had, I got all the explanations.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was just concerned with the noise right now. How long is it going to take? If they're going to change anything?
Okay.
Or is it going to be open?
Okay. We'll find out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Smith, you or someone in your applicant party want to comment on those things?
Sure. Generally speaking, I guess I could just respond that the noise readings that we presented are the information that we have available to us and the best information that we believe exists today. As an aside from that, as you likely know, there's constitutional protections for the possession of a firearm. What we are proposing here is technically safer than what a person is permitted to do on an agricultural residential parcel without an approval. I mean, if these gentlemen own this parcel and it's not developed for commercial use, they could sit out there and fire 10,000 rounds a day and within that compliance, and that's technically permitted. So, I mean, the discharge of firearms in Sussex County in particular is a known thing. I mean, it happens particularly during hunting seasons, but I think these guys are trying to be as respectful as possible, and they're also trying to make sure that the sound resonates to the maximum extent possible to the east of this parcel. And Jeff could comment more on this, but I believe the berm on the west-hand side of the outdoor firing range was intentionally constructed higher so that sound would take the path of least resistance and go towards the east at that point in time.
That was my question. Thank you.
Sure. Well, a little background on myself. I was an explosive breacher for a many amount of years in local law enforcement. And when I went through bomb school and path of least resistance for sound, our left berm on the west side is about 15 feet taller than the right side on the east side of the property. When the shooter 16 feet inside the building is shoots the round, it does crack off the left side of the berm and moves its way to the right side of the berm towards Mr. Moore's property, Mr. Glenn Moore's property. We designed that way because of the houses. We were trying to be as polite as possible with the nature of the beast of the range. And with the readings that we had, we have done a really good part of that. And then with the vegetation that's being planted around the property, around their houses, those evergreens grow about 14 to 15 inches a year. They're a year and a half old, and they're already a little over 4 feet tall. They will get taller. We're just trying to be as polite as possible. Sure. When it comes to sound. Guns are loud, and we understand that. We just try to be as nice as possible towards the neighbors.
Good. I also need to mention, I neglected to hand in these copies when I was presenting for the police reports. Could I go ahead and do that now?
Just give them the, that's fine. All right, then. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the day to see if we make a decision or you may wish to call the office in the morning.